Welcome to the Quality Christian Living Podcast. I am your host, David Friend. We're in a series of messages dealing with living life with purpose. And we've covered a lot of ground so far, but today we're going to talk about God's purpose in our finances. Now, here's what we're going to cover today. We must follow the scriptures, all the instructions that they have on how to use our finances, and discover the good and the bad uses of money. We must understand why the scriptures are filled with financial advice and see how following God's purpose for us will impact our finances. So I hope you're ready for this, because I am very excited about this podcast today, and I pray that the Lord will bless it and that He'll touch you. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity once again to come to you, Father, and Father, that you've used this podcast to bless so many people. And Father, I'm truly humbled by what you've done and how you've done it. And I pray your anointing would be upon it now. So Holy Spirit, come in and take control, take charge of everything that's said. I'll be careful now to give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor for what's about to take place. Open up the hearts and the eyes and the ears, that they, even though they don't see me, that they'll be able to see, Father, through spiritual eyes, Father, what you want to do with them and through them as we look at your word and look at your instructions for living with your purpose in our finances. Bless it now, I ask, and I'll be careful you to give the praise for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, now this podcast will provide God's advice, not mine, but God's advice on his purpose for our finances. Because it's God's advice, it will be the best advice that we can receive from any place in the world. The reason I say that is because I will use God's word as our source of advice. So let's start off with the good and bad use of our finances. That's our money and the assets and the things that we possibly own. So we'll look at Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, and it's out of the New International Version. Listen to what it has to say. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions. Now, that's a really powerful scripture, because we've got to be on our guard. We got to be careful. We got to be spiritually ready. We got to get ourselves spiritually prepared to be able to handle the financial blessings that God wants to bring upon us. Now, some people say, well, this is going to be a message just on prosperity and finance and all that. No, it really is not. It's going to be a message on how God's purpose for us will bless our finances, and that he wants to bless us. And I'll show you how he does and how many times he does. But he gives a warning right up front. The Holy Spirit gave me this scripture. We're using a warning to tell people to be on your guard against all kinds of greed, because life does not consist in abundance of possessions. That's interesting, because the next podcast we're going to talk about, I'm going to be using a scripture where Jesus said, the devil's come to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to give life and give it more abundantly. So we're going to talk about the contrast between trying to have nothing but an abundance of possessions, which is greed, and what it means to live the abundant life. So I'm looking forward to that. If I'm not careful, I'll get into the next podcast before I get this one done. So let's look at the word greed. Greed is one of our greatest enemies in our finances. Greed has destroyed marriages. It's destroyed businesses and friendships and families and on. It's destroyed churches. It's just so many things it can destroy. And that's why God gives us the warning to avoid any form of greed in our life. One of God's plans for our life is to bless our finances and to help us understand how to avoid any form of greed. See, in our finances, we've got to put God first. Our number one purpose in our life is to honor God, period. With who we are, what we have, anything we possess, always put him first and honor him first. And if we do that, then we're opening up the opportunity for God to bless us in the area of our finances. But greed is focusing on self and selfish ambitions. The Lord wants our finances to bless us and bless others, and he wants us to avoid any form of greed. So as a banker, you know, for the years that I spent in banking, I could tell when our bank was going to do well financially and when the bank was going to struggle based upon whether we were approaching things with an attitude of greed. I remember one time in the bank, they wanted to make a lot of money that year, so they did certain types of loans where they charged fees or points ahead of time, and they raised a tremendous amount of money this one year that were greedy for the money that year. But the next year, they didn't have that same amount of bonuses and points and fees coming in, so their profits went way down and they were in big trouble. So greed drove them to get too much in one year, and it hurt them in the following years after that. Now, I hope that's not a little heavy for some people, but that's just the way we can work in our life. Greed will destroy us. God wants to bless us. God's purpose in our finances is found also in Matthew 25 and verse 29 in the New Living Translation. Now, let me read this and listen to it very carefully as we go through it. To those who use well what they are given, that means what they have, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. There's that interesting word again. But from those who do nothing, even with the little that they have, that will be taken away from them. Now, there's a great story about the talents in the Word of God, but this particular scripture, I think, is so important that we look a little closer at what is it saying? How does it affect us? How does it impact God's plan for us and that God has a purpose for us in our finances? So let's look closer. The words use well, that refers to how we use what we have. Now, if we have a lot, we must use it well. If we have little, we must use it well. If we have something in between, we must use it well, because that's the premise of how God's going to bless us in the future with what He wants to provide for us. Do we include from what we have giving to others, giving to our church, making a sacrifice of some kind to some other entity or person, individual that needs something maybe that we have? If we have a lot of finances, the Bible says too much is given, much is required. And that applies to a whole lot more than just finances. But it's important that God's Word tells us, use well what we have. And if we do that, even with little, God will bless it. You'll get the attentions of God. Remember the widow who gave the two little coins that she had. That's all she had. That story of a woman giving just pennies away. Think about how that has impacted the world ever since. That message has rung true in churches and people's lives and in the teachings about how God wants us to handle what we have. Now, if we use well, then the Word says, more will be given to us. Even abundance. That word is really interesting. I got to be careful. I'm looking forward so much to the next podcast on abundance and dealing with our purpose that I don't want to cross over here. But it's so important to understand that God once again tells us that it's okay if we have abundance. As long as we honor Him first, we have our needs met, and then have an abundance for other good works. You see, if we do nothing good with what we have, it says we'll lose what we have. And that is so true. That is so true. There's a story about a man who made a lot of money, and he took all of his money and he put it in the backyard and he buried it in the hole because he didn't want to invest it. He didn't want to share it with anyone. He wanted to keep all that he had. And then the floods came and the rains came and all that happened, and his money was dug up by the water and down the river it went, and he lost it. He had it, but he didn't use it, and he lost it. Now, that you might say, well, that's kind of a silly expression, but it really is not a silly expression or a silly example, because if we take what we have and just keep it back and hold it and hoard it and keep it to ourselves, we're not doing any good with it. And then when we go on into eternity, we lost the opportunity to bless others and to be a blessing to others from what God has given us. Now, here's another use of finances. It's found in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 20 in the New Living Translation. The wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. Now, that's an interesting one, because that's basically telling us if we spend every dime that we've got and we never save anything back or never help bless anyone else, then we're going to basically lose what we have. And it's important that we understand that God uses the words like wealth, and He uses words like luxury, and He uses words like abundance, but He explains the proper use of them. And that's so important that we get that when we're trying to understand God's purpose in our finances. It says, but fools spend what they have. That means they don't understand to save back for the future. They don't plan for the maybe problems that are going to come. I read something the other day. I wish I knew the journal or the article where I found it from, but I've heard it several times, news articles on TV and radio and whatever, and as a guy will get on, he's talking about the financial condition of our country and where we are financially and the people that have money, the people that don't have money, and he'll make a statement like this. In America today, the vast majority of people, like maybe 60, 70, 80, 80% of the people, I've heard all kinds of different percentages on that, do not have enough money saved back in the bank to handle a $500 expense. Now, some of us might think, well, that's not true. Well, it is true. As a pastor for years, as a banker for years, I tell you, the vast majority of our customers had very little in savings and very little money held back to be able to handle an emergency that came up. God doesn't want us to do that. If we set up our finances properly according to God's Word and His plan, and I hope with some of this teaching this in this particular podcast and the next one coming up, the way it demonstrates, then we will have abundance for every good and perfect need that we have, because the money that we have and the finances that we have are a good and perfect gift from our Father. Okay, we need to move on. Now, we need to look at why there is so much written in God's Word about finances, the proper use of them, the improper use of them, and why did God stress so much about that? Well, I believe our God loves us so much and wants His best for us that He dedicated instructions on finances throughout His Word. The Lord knew we would face trials in this area of our life. And if there's one area that people have trials and challenges with, it's money. Recently, I read an article that said that divorce, the number one reason for divorce today is financial, the lack of finances. It used to be the number one was adultery, or it might have been abuse, physical or mental abuse. It might have been for a lot of other reasons. But today, the number one reason that couples say they're going to divorce is because their finances are just not what they need them to be, want them to be, desire for them to be, and it tears people apart. So God knew that. That's why there's so much written about finances. Let me take a second here and just kind of digress a little bit about this whole area of finances. It's been such an important part of my teaching and my preaching and my podcasting, because I was a banker for 15 years, always helping people, dealing with people with their finances. And I was a real estate developer, and I had a business, and finances were so crucial for that to be successful, and it took a lot of work and effort. Finances were a key part of borrowing money to build projects and do various projects. When I became a pastor, we needed finances to build the church, and we need people to understand that they need to give to the church to help us and to raise the money to build the congregation, to pay for the staff, and then be good stewards of what we have. On and on and on throughout my life, I've seen examples of how important it is to use our finances properly. Matter of fact, the very first book that I wrote was about 15 years ago, and it was called Freedom in Your Finances. Now, it's been written and it's been copied a few times by people. I've told them just go ahead and take anything they want out of there and use it for their churches. And it basically was a book that helped, I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of people that I know. I used to use it as a training tool. And that book is not available anymore, and I replaced it with a new book entitled How to Experience the Joy of Debt-Free Living, or just experience the joy of debt-free living, because I want people to be free of debt. I want people to understand that debt can be a noose. It can be something that can choke us. It's something that can destroy our lives and hurt us. So there's a book that I've written, and I'll talk a little bit about that at the end of this podcast about how you can get that. And just quickly, it's on Amazon, and I'm not doing this podcast to sell that book, but it certainly is filled with a lot of information I think that would be beneficial to Christians and, quite frankly, non-Christians alike. So the Word of God has so much to say. Why don't we look at a couple scriptures here talking about God and His plan for us, His purpose for us, and His purpose for our finances that He provides for us. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10 says this in the New Living Translation, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows." Now, that thing is so deep and so powerful and so important for us to get in, understand that. Some people mess up that scripture and they say, well, money's evil. No, money is not evil. Very, very carefully, let's listen to this. It says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And then here's a crucial part of the love of money, craving money and wandering from the true faith, from their faith in God and their Christian faith, and pierce themselves with many sorrows or many, many challenges in their life. Money is a wonderful thing to use. It's a wonderful thing that we have. We need it. We've got to have it to do things. You go get some gas today without money. You're not going to get it. Go buy some groceries try to get some groceries for your home. You're not going to have it without money or a card to purchase it, but it's the use of money. So money is, it's okay, but it's the love. It's the worshiping of it. And quite frankly, I have known businessmen who literally worship money. It is their number one priority, and it's the God of their life. My experience, once again, as a pastor and a banker, and that puts a lot of years together. That puts about 35 years if you add my pastoral experience and my banking. Matter of fact, now it's like 45 years. That's a lot of years. Most of you listening to this are probably nowhere near even that age. But to think about the number of people that had come to me for help on dealing with their finances, and it's helped me to have an opportunity to work with them and to minister to them and show them what God's Word has to say. And honestly, I just thank the Lord for this. I have have seen so many businessmen who've come to me. Their marriages are a mess. Their kids don't like them anymore. They're just having a horrible time in life. Their business is failing. And I sit down with them and we realize they come to the reality that God needs to be their source, not their business, not their finances. And when Jesus spoke the words in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you." That scripture has spoken into so many lives, my own life in particular, but so many men and women that I've talked to over the years that struggled with finances, and they just felt that they just need to get this, need to get that, then they'll give to the Lord, or then they'll help somebody else. No, that's not how it works. The Bible says, "Give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." So let me make this a little clearer, because I just think it's so important to restate this. And I want to make this as clear as I can make it. Money and finances are not evil, but putting them first is spiritual death. Now, some of you might say, "Wow, that's pretty heavy." Well, it's the truth. Let me explain what spiritual death is. It's not being led by the Spirit of God. It's putting self-interest first in our life and always looking to ourselves, looking that we are the source of our health. We are the source of our faith. We are the source of our finances and our successes. That is destructive, and that's what kills people, and that's what's evil. And that gives us spiritual death because we're not seeking God. That doesn't mean if we're a Christian that we're dead physically. What it means is that we are numb to the things of God. We're numb to listening to the Holy Spirit. That's what spiritual death is, and we certainly don't want that in our life at any price whatsoever. Now, the last part that I want to address in this podcast is how following God's purpose for us will impact our finances. First, we must understand that our first purpose in life is to honor God in every area of our life. You thought I was going to say our first purpose is to know that God wants to bless us. Yeah, well, he does want to bless us. But our main purpose, our primary purpose for being here is to honor the Lord with every aspect of our life. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, the New International Version says this, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Paul wanted us to understand that God is our source, that God wants to bless us, and that he will meet all of our needs according to the riches of his glory, which means not just money, please, just not money. It's just simply the richness of his glory, which is so much greater than money. Money is a part, but money is not really the focus of God's purpose for us. But God also understands that we need money to operate, to live, to pay bills, to eat, and all those things. And so because of that, his word is filled with hundreds of references for money, how to use it, how not to use it, and how to not allow it to rob us of our relationship with him. Because our first purpose is to honor God. And after we do that, then you're going to see, like, "Seek ye first," what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's what the word of God is about. That's what this podcast is all about. Here's another scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, the New International Version. "And God is able to bless you." Well, you got to understand that he is. You got to believe that he not only is able, but he wants to. He desires to. So God is able to bless you abundantly. There's that word again. "So that in all things, in all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Everything that you do will be blessed of the Lord. If we put God first and know that he's able and he wants to bless us, and that if we do this in every area of our life, and that obviously one of those areas is the area of our finances. Before I close this podcast, I want to do a quick review of what we've covered in God's purpose in our finances. Now, I'm going to go a little quick on this, but we've covered all this in detail, but just a real quick refresher. Number one, honor God in everything. Always put him first. Number two, God wants us to prosper. Three, God's word has unlimited numbers of scriptures directing our finances and our purpose. Four, we must avoid greed. Five, we must make good decisions on using what we have to do good. Six, God knew we needed help in this area of finances and purpose. That's why he gave us his word. Number seven, our purpose in life includes our need for finances. Number eight, money is not evil. It's the love of it, and it's coveting it, and it's craving it, and it's turning your life around just to get it. That's what's evil. And number nine, give in order to receive anything in life. And finally, number 10, God is our source for everything good that takes place in our life. Let me give you a scripture, I think, that kind of wraps up a lot of this and kind of helps us in the area, this area of purpose and finances. It's in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that in all things you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. You know, that kind of wraps things up, doesn't it? It tells us that God wants us to be blessed, and John wrote this, led by the Holy Spirit, that in all things, that's every part of our life, that we would prosper. That means we'd be blessed, we'd have abundant living, and be in good health, be strong physically, as our soul prospers. And so prosperity of our soul is absolutely where it's all at. You know, I thought I was going to close, but I just have a scripture here that I thought I should add to this. So let me just do that. I've got time to get that in. Here's a wonderful scripture dealing with all this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, New International Version. No one can serve two masters. Either you will have hatred for one and love for the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That's about as clear as we can get when it comes to understanding that God needs to be first in every area of our life, including our finances, and that God blesses us if we follow Luke 6:38 in the New Living Translation. And basically, I'll give a kind of my own paraphrased edition of this. Luke 6:38, give and you will receive. And it says, the amount that you give will determine the amount you get back. Now, I'm not going to apply that just to money. If you want something in your life, you have to give it away to get it. If you want friends, you need to be friendly. If you want to be used of God, then you need to volunteer to do something for God. If you want to help someone others, then you need to do that. And then by helping them in any area of their life, you'll be helped. I've told many young men who've come into my office to visit with me about careers and like a job they want. They're having a rough time getting a job, struggling with it. And I said, well, let me ask you this. Do you know anybody else looking for a job? And they're saying, oh, yeah. I said, well, why don't you meet with them and tell them all the things that they need to do to get a job, which is all the things, you know, that you've been doing. And sometimes they look at me like, you got to be crazy. I said, no, that's scripturally true. And that is, help someone else achieve what they need. And it may be the same thing that you need. And then God will give it to you. Now, I believe that everything that we've covered in this podcast helps us understand because it's based on God's word. It helps explain how God's purpose and our finances can work together. And that's what God wants for us. So let me close this by praying for you. Heavenly Father, people have listened in and tuned in to this podcast because they're concerned about either their finances, they're concerned about their purpose, they're concerned about maybe just how to grow closer to the Lord. So Father, I pray that you would use this podcast, this teaching, and these scriptures, and your word, God, that we've focused on today to help people to understand that God wants to be involved in every area of our life. And so, Father, I pray a blessing upon them. I pray that they would prosper in all things and be in good health, even as their soul prospers. And I pray, Father God, that they would take the words of Jesus to understand that He wants to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. And Lord, I believe we put you first. I know that when we put you first, that we will be blessed, Father. So I pray that each and every person out there, myself included, will always keep you first in all things and realize that you are our source for every good and perfect thing that comes into our life. Thank you once again for this time we spent together. Blessings upon those who are listening in, and may they receive guidance and direction in this area. I'll be careful to give you praise for it, give you all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, I hope this has been a blessing to you. I've thoroughly enjoyed doing this, and I'm pretty excited about the next podcast, as you could tell as I went through this one, because the following podcast is entitled Purpose Brings Abundance. And let me give you a couple little teasers about what we're going to talk about. We must look at the words of Jesus in John 10:10. The thief's purpose is to kill and steal and destroy, but I've come to give you life more abundantly. We're going to talk about what was the purpose of Jesus saying that. What was he saying about the abundant living? Why do some dislike the words abundant and living? How can our purpose bring abundant living? We're going to address that. And those are just some of the areas we're going to cover. And I know the Lord's got something very special intended. So I pray that you would let your friends and neighbors and family know that there's something very special about to take place in this series and that you'd like them to be a part of it. So thank you once again for listening in. If you'd like to know more about quality Christian living, you can find out about it by just simply going to my webpage, which is davidcfriendauthor.com. And when you get to my webpage, right on the front page, you'll see a link to all the podcasts that I've done. You just click that link on, and this was podcast, I believe, number 309. So obviously, obviously, we've done a few podcasts. There are some really interesting series there I think the Lord has given me. I did an entire series on how to be out of debt, how to live debt-free. I did an entire series on the difference between spiritual prosperity and just seeking financial prosperity. Very important series for people to understand that spiritual prosperity is where it's all at. And we did a series of messages on faith and on miracles and on the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, just a plethora of topics that I think would be of interest to you. I tend to teach series of anywhere from 12 to 15 to maybe 20 or 22 or 3 podcasts on one particular series. And then when I do that, and if the series goes the way I've seen the Lord anoint some of those series, several of those have turned into books. Matter of fact, I just released a new book entitled Faith for Miracles. And that book is on Amazon. And if you want to scroll down my webpage a little more, you'll see a list of 6 books that are currently on Amazon. Several of them were inspired by these podcasts that we've done over the last few years. And there's several new that I'm working on right now that will probably become books in the near future. So I hope that'll be a blessing to you. If you'd like to subscribe to my podcast, you can do that by going to cpnshows.com or wherever you listen to your podcast. So I'd like for you to get some friends and family members to tune in. We're so blessed to see this podcast go out through the Charisma Media, and we're on there. They're hosting our podcast, and what a blessing that they have been to us, and what a blessing this has been, I believe, to my family, and it's given me an opportunity to bring the good news of Jesus Christ, to share my faith with others. And if you're tuning in today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you're curious about your purpose and maybe you're curious about finances, let me just close this out by asking you to commit your life to Christ. If you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity, I want to give you some words right now for you to pray and know that God can come into your life and change your life permanently. Say, Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for the sins I've committed. I need a Savior. I need Jesus in my life. But I've sinned, so I confess my sins. I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was crucified, dead, and buried, but he resurrected from the dead, that he could offer his life as a sacrifice for my sins. So on this day, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I promise to serve him all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it sincerely in your heart, find a good church, find a good Bible preaching church that believes in the prayer of salvation that I just had you pray, and they preach the true gospel. Get yourself a good Bible, one that's maybe easier to read, maybe a New Living Translation, an NIV. There's a number of really good translations out that helps us with our own language. And so I just pray that you'll do that. Once again, I want to thank you so very much for tuning into Quality Christian Living. This is podcast number 309. I am your host, David Friend. I want to thank you so much for listening in, and I want to give you a blessing as I sign off on this podcast. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace. And may you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So thank you so much. Until next time, may God richly bless you. Thank you so much for listening to Quality Christian Living.